bringing you everything under the Disney umbrella. Network 1901.
Hey everyone, Shannon here. This week's story is from Hope. She's one of the co-hosts of the podcast Jagguys and Jedi and loves all things Star Wars animation and Dave Filoni. I do want to give a brief trigger warning before this episode that there is a brief mention of suicide about halfway through, so please use your own discretion when listening. But without further ado, welcome to episode 18 of Lipstick and Lightsabers.
Hi, I'm Hope Molnax, and I'm one of the co-podcasters for Jagguys and Jedi, where we're working to cover every episode of the Filoniverse, which is what we call all the Dave Filoni shows. We've already covered all of Clone Wars, we're currently doing Rebels, we're planning for Resistance in a few years, and then whatever else Dave gets us in the future. So I'm going to answer your first three questions of how did I get into Star Wars, how do I engage with the fandom, and how has it impacted my life in my Star Wars story, because my story hits on all three questions. So my Star Wars story started with my mom. She showed me the original trilogies when I was young, since she's been a big sci-fi fan her entire life. She grew up as a Trekkie, and her greatest disappointment in me is I never got into Star Trek. I'm sorry, Mom. I tried. But yeah, I never got into Star Trek, and my mom hates that about me. Okay, she doesn't hate that about me, but yeah. And the thing about the original trilogy is that I like it, and it was fine, but I didn't love it growing up. The way I kind of consume media is I have to be able to connect with a character. I have to be able to see myself in the character for me to be like, yes, I love this thing. With the original trilogy, I wasn't really a big fan of Luke. In fact, the first time I ever really connected and understood Luke was during Last Jedi. And I loved him in Last Jedi, and I was like, yes, I understand you, Luke. And Han and Lando were both okay, and of course I love Chewbacca. I also have a terrible phobia of AI, so I don't do C-3PO at all. R2's fine. And then there was Leia, and I didn't learn to appreciate Leia until I was an adult. And all my life, I've always been a bit jealous of stories when other people and other women would say that they were inspired by Leia, and they could see themselves in Leia. Don't get me wrong, because Leia and Carrie Fisher are both amazing, but when I was growing up, Leia was just perfect, and she was awesome, and she kicked butt, and she took names, and she didn't let anybody tell her what to do. And that wasn't me. Leia made me look at myself, and I saw how flawed I was. Whenever I watched Leia, I mentally saw my mistakes more, because I never believed I could ever be as awesome as Princess Leia. Because I was like this weird kid in school with very few friends, and I got picked on for liking Pokemon and anime. So yeah, I never really got into Star Wars when I was younger. So I went through early life just kind of mildly liking it, and The Phantom Menace came out, and that was my first Star Wars movie I ever saw in a theater. And then I felt the same way about Padme. Padme was awesome, and she was amazing and perfect, and she could do no wrong. And again, that wasn't me. So then I went to college, and that's when I really got into my first real fandom, where I went out, and I met people, and I like went to events and all that stuff, and I joined the Harry Potter fandom. But more specifically, I joined the Wizard Rock fandom, and that's W-R-O-C-K Rock. So Wizard Rock was created by people who made these bands who played music about the Harry Potter universe. And at its height, there were 500 bands internationally who would tour and create fandom music. And some of my most cherished memories was going to Missouri for Rockstock, where it was a 3-day music festival with 50 bands performing all day. And it was just a celebration of fandom. We would just hang out and listen to music and swap music, and it was just great. And it really showed me for the first time how big and open fandom could be. And it also led me to work for a few years with the humanitarian organization, the Harry Potter Alliance. And now that really shaped my view of fandom and how it could be used in a positive light. Because the Harry Potter Alliance was a grassroots nonprofit organization which used themes in Harry Potter to promote social activism. And in my few years there, I helped collect books for a youth village in Rwanda that survived the 1994 genocide. I helped raise money to send 5 planes to Haiti after the earthquake. Before gay marriage was legal, I would call states to encourage voters to vote for equality, and that's the thing we did. I also helped the beginning stages of their chocolate frog campaign, because Warner Brothers was using child labor in Africa to get their chocolate for their chocolate frogs, and I helped kick off the early stages of the Not in Harry's Name campaign, which won years later when Warner Brothers finally stopped using child labor and used fair trade chocolate instead. So it was just a really great organization to be part of that showed me like the positive force fandom could do and like fans what they could do when they got together and was like, yes, we're gonna change this thing. So college was literally a magical time for me, puns all intended, shaping my view of what fandom was and the power it had. And I've tried to replicate that with other fandoms, like the Once Upon a Time fandom. I helped lead fundraisers for Greenwish, which is an organization created by once actor Raphael Sabarge. And it's something I became really passionate about, and I haven't really seen that kind of grassroots fan-led activism since the Harry Potter Alliance, which is still around today, guys. You can go check them out because they still do stuff nowadays. And I would love to see that more in the Star Wars fandom one day where it's fan-led. But I digress, because college also brought me into a fandom that I had long sat on the fringes of, and I rediscovered Star Wars again. In 2008, I was slogging through life in college, and I heard that there would be a new Star Wars show. So I decided, my life is crazy and I need an outlet, so I'm just gonna watch this new Star Wars show just to get my mind off of life. That's when I was introduced to Ahsoka Tano. Ahsoka, my dear Ahsoka, my queen, was so different from Leia or Padme. She was a student like I was. She was flawed and she made mistakes, dire mistakes, which like got her men killed. Because of how flawed she was, I realized that's how I felt a lot of the time. She had PTSD. I remember her talking with Barriss on Geonosis about like her not knowing what to do with silence. And I would, at the time, had been struggling to overcome my own trauma. I had a very abusive relationship in high school, and it was affecting my dating life and relationships in college as I was trying to get over this abusive relationship that was still just plaguing me mentally. But the thing about Ahsoka is that even though she was flawed and she had these mistakes and stuff, she always got back up. She always learned from her mistakes. She stood her ground, even when she felt weak or she was injured or she just wasn't feeling it. Like, she would still get up and stand her ground. And Ahsoka taught me how to do the same. And I realized for the first time in Star Wars, I finally had a character that was like me. Ahsoka was me, and I connected with her on a deep level that I had never done in Star Wars. And I fell in love with her, and she became my everything, and still is my everything. And my love for Ahsoka in Clone Wars led me to Dragon Con 2009, where I heard there would be a Clone Wars panel. So I went into the room all on my own, because none of my friends had watched Clone Wars, so I went in all by myself. And on the panel, there were two guys named Chris and Scott, and they had a podcast network called Two True Freaks. And the panel was just kind of a mixed bag. It was either fanboys griping about Clone Wars being like a kid show, and why are all the buttons weird on all the ships? There should be 15 buttons, not 17 buttons. And there were also like really adorable children asking like really great questions like, in the Blue Shadow Virus episode, why didn't the clones die? And like they were like these really cute kids. And so I finally like really nervously got up and raised my hand and asked if the panelists believed that Clone Wars mimicked real world events. And since at the time I had been working with the Harry Potter Alliance to get books for Rwanda, I compared the genocide to Rwanda with the episode Innocence of Ryloth, which we actually have on audio because Chris and Scott were recording the panel. And they thoughtfully answered my question, and then they continued with the panel like normal. And afterwards, they came up to me and they asked me to be on their show. And my love of Clone Wars led me to joining their podcast network, where I ended up getting my own show for a while. It was called Hope of All Trades. It's not around anymore, but the archives are there, so have fun with that. And occasionally, I would contribute to a show called Who True Freaks, which was a Doctor Who show that we had running for a while. That's how I got in with podcasting, but that wasn't really the last time that Clone Wars helped me. So about a year after college, I went to go see my best friend who lives in a different state. And I got back from a weekend trip from visiting her. And I came home and I found my dad in tears. And he was just sobbing. And I asked him what was going on, because of course when you find your dad sobbing like that, your first thought is, who died? Luckily no one died, but I found out that we were losing my childhood home to foreclosure. And it was the only house I had ever known. My dad and my grandfather built that house. I was supposed to inherit that house, and we were losing it. And I had a real fear that I was about to be homeless because I had nowhere else to go. And as the weeks passed, I had to pack up my life and I had to make really hard choices whether how much do I love this item? Is it going to come with me to someplace that I might not be able to keep it, or do I sell this item? And I ended up selling a lot of things that were very precious, like Christmas ornaments, just to make money. And that's a really hard decision when you have to look at a Christmas ornament and decide how much do you love those memories and how much do you need the money. And it was a really hard moment for me. And I got through it by doing two things. I either listened to a radio show called Cabin Pressure, because at the time I had gotten into the BBC Sherlock fandom. And Cabin Pressure is a wonderful radio show that has Benedict Cumberbatch. And I would just cry as I listened to it because I was laughing and crying at the same time. And the other thing I would do is I would put on Clone Wars. I would specifically put on Ahsoka episodes to have her again help me push through it. Again, I would watch Ahsoka fall and she would get back up again. And by this time, I had more seasons to go on than I had before. And I had more of her story to help me go on. And it was like Ahsoka and Padme, who I liked more now in the show. I had Rex there and Anakin and Obi-Wan and Satine and the rest of the Clone Wars gang there cheering me on and telling me that just because we were losing our home, it wasn't the end. Because that's also where I learned that a home is not a house. A house is just a building. Watching them make this little family with Ahsoka and Rex and Anakin and Obi-Wan, they made this little family, and it was their little found family that they cared for each other and they protected each other in the midst of this galaxy-wide devastating war. And they showed me that you still have to fight for love and you still have to fight for light. And that's when I really came to terms that a real home is the people in your life. Well, luckily I ended up moving in with my sister and my brother-in-law because they took me in. And it was a really hard 2 years, and I'm really thankful they took me in, but it was a really hard 2 years because my other two sisters and four of their children also lived there too. And there were 9 of us in a 3-bedroom home, and I lived in an office just big enough to fit my bed and my dresser. And I really felt like Harry Potter at times in that tiny room. And I also, at the time, I had lost a really great job. I had been a nanny for several years, but my kids grew up on me and they didn't need me anymore. And I ended up getting a really terrible job at Hot Topic. And let me tell you, working for Hot Topic was just so awful. It was mentally abusive. My boss was manipulative. She would hold my time off, like my time off for my sister's wedding, over my head just to make me work harder. And I wish when I was that age, I knew what quid pro quo harassment was, because I didn't know what it was at the time and I didn't know that was illegal. And it was a very physically demanding job, and I would work really late hours sometimes, like till 3 or 4 a.m. after working an 8-hour shift to do shipments and floor moves. And the entire time we were ignored by corporate. They didn't care about us. They only cared about the bottom line and the money. And they would ignore what we were saying to them. It was so bad that other stores in the mall would come to us on our breaks and offer us jobs because they saw how badly we were being treated. And it's easily the worst job I ever had. It was a really terrible place to be. My time working at Hot Topic is why I will only buy Her Universe items straight from their website, because I refuse to ever support Hot Topic ever again. And so in this time where I was pretty much Harry Potter living in a tiny office with 9 other people in a house, and I had this really abusive job and I didn't have my own space, it was the first time that I really felt depression, and I fell into a depression and I felt really stuck at times. And it was the only time in my life that I started thinking, much worse things to do to myself. It was the first time in my life that I really wanted it all to end. So what got me through it was podcasting and fandom. I started getting more into Tumblr. I started meeting new Star Wars friends. And my online friend that I met back in college started watching Clone Wars. So I got to rediscover the series that I loved so much as she was witnessing it for the first time. And she helped me by starting a written Star Wars roleplay. So I had a creative outlet and it inspired me to pin out early outlines and stories to pull me out of that darkness. Finding Clone Wars again, and also at the time the BBC Sherlock fandom and the Once Upon a Time fandom, but definitely Clone Wars and going back to Ahsoka is what helped me. Watching Ahsoka again, because at that time the series had been canceled and she had walked away from her own terrible situation with the Jedi Order and she chose her path. And it inspired me to start looking for a new path that wasn't where I was. And her strength literally saved my life. Ahsoka Tano literally saved my life. And I wouldn't be here today, I don't think, if it wasn't for her. And I can't thank Dave Filoni enough for creating her. So thank you, Dave, if you're listening to this. But luckily, I did choose a new path and I got out of that terrible job. I moved in with my dad and my stepmom. And I became a manager for a comic book store, and which working at a comic book store definitely seemed like a dream job, which it was most of the time, don't get me wrong. Working at a comic book store was great, and I got into the new Marvel comics, meeting great characters like Aphra and like Shattered Empire, gave us Poe's parents and stuff. Like it was a lot of fun because it was right when those Marvel comics were coming out. But it was also the first time I came across the negative side of the Star Wars fandom in person, where it was in my face. So it was kind of like they just kept cloning the same dude bro that would come into my store over and over again, because I kept having the same debate with different men. And yes, I am pointing out that it was mostly men. I very rarely had this debate with women, and actually a lot of the times the women I would talk to about this, they actually had watched Clone Wars, and they knew what I was talking about, and they knew who Ahsoka was. With these dude bros, I would talk about Star Wars, and we would debate it, and you know, it was right around the time The Force Awakens was coming out, so there was a lot to talk about, a lot of excitement, and also Star Wars Rebels had just started, and I was really super excited about the return of Ahsoka, because now Ahsoka was back, and I was freaking the heck out, and she was an adult, just like me, and she'd become, like, my personal queen, and she's still my queen to this day. And there's very few characters in a fandom that I got to go on that journey with and literally grew up with them. This must be how like original trilogy people when they grew up with Luke, so I feel you, I understand that. So with these comic bros though, we'd be having a nice chat about Star Wars, but the moment I would bring up Clone Wars or Rebels, they would tell me that that wasn't real Star Wars. They would argue that if it wasn't on the big movie screens, then it wasn't Star Wars, which was baffling to me because I would say that Clone Wars and Rebels were canon. These comics coming out were canon. And these guys would always argue that if it wasn't the movies or the extended universe, these things didn't matter and only those mattered, which was crushing because I loved the show so much. Because now, to go along with Clone Wars, I had Rebels. I was introduced to the Ghost Crew. Kanan was an amazing, unconventional Jedi who survived a tragedy. Hera and Sabine were amazing women who were equals to the men on the crew. Ezra was a bright ray of sunshine that made me smile. Zeb was awesome and honorable and brave, and I named my cat after Zeb. And the Ghost Crew became so important to me. But because they weren't on movie screens, they apparently didn't count to the men I talked to in my store. But then, something amazing happened. One marvelous day, a bunch of articles just dropped on the internet. And in the new anthology movie, Rogue One, Forrest Whitaker was revealed to play Saw Gerrera, a Clone Wars character. And I cried, oh my god, I sobbed, I was in my store, I was screaming, I went home, I was crying as I read article after article just to make sure it was real, because it didn't feel real. Like, I was like, this can't be happening, we can't be having this, like, Clone Wars character on a movie screen, this is not real life. And you better believe that when those dude bros came back into my store, I, well, actually'd the heck out of them. This is not my show, I can't swear on it. I, well, actually'd the heckin' heck out of them when they came back into my store. Because now Clone Wars had been validated in the movies. They couldn't say anymore that it wasn't on the screens. They couldn't say that Clone Wars and Rebels didn't count because we had Saw Gerrera on screen. We had the Ghost Crew at the Battle of Scarif. We had General Queen Syndulla being called over the intercom. And the television show that I loved, my bread and butter of Star Wars, was now in the movies and it was part of the mainstream universe. Also, Rogue One is my personal favorite Star Wars movie. I did a 2-hour commentary on my podcast about why Bodhi Rook was one of the most important characters ever created in Star Wars. Don't at me. And also around this time, I was talking to my friend Chris from Two True Freaks podcast, and we were talking about how Star Wars in general and stuff like that, and just shooting the stuff. I can't swear, this is not my show. And he used to do a show with Scott called Star Wars Monthly Mondays, but schedules kept them from doing it anymore, and Chris was saying how he wished that we still had a Star Wars show on the network. And I very offhandedly said, man, I would love to talk about Clone Wars. And Chris went, Hope, why don't you and I just do a Clone Wars show? And that's how my podcast, Jay Guys and Jedi, was born. We went through every episode of Clone Wars, and every week, Clone Wars became a staple in my life. But as we were going through Clone Wars, Rebels was still running at the time, and we found ourselves talking more and more about Rebels. About a year later, they announced the new series, Resistance, was coming. And Chris and I made a decision. We decided that we would cover every episode of the Filoniverse, as long as Dave Filoni was either putting out or overseeing the animated shows. And we've been doing JKS and Jedi for about 3 years now. And it also became a platform for me to start writing again, because if you ever listen to our show, I write up all of our Act 1, Act 2, Act 3 recaps. I just make them all dumb. Like, I call Palpatine Papa Palps, Maul and his brother are Malio and Savaji. I write lines for Chris to read Anakin's voice in a Napoleon Dynamite voice. I've always been a writer, but because of all the stuff that I've been talking about this whole time, the last few years, it really kept me from writing and feeling it. And my podcasting and my writing for it, as well as inspiration from Star Wars Rebels, led me to writing my first fan fiction in over 8 years. Because I had tried to write fan fiction when I lived with my sister, but I had lost my fan fiction notebook just between all the moves, just going place to place, which had been like this huge mental and creative blow to me. And I hadn't at the time like rediscovered my love of writing since, so I'm sorry to all my Hitalia fan fictions that will never be finished. Because of all this, now a year later, over on AO3, I just celebrated my 1-year anniversary of my first Star Wars fanfic, which is still ongoing. It's a Thrawn fic called Forces of Gravity, and I also have a stupid fun side project called The Lucky Lecum, and I've written over 20 multiple one-shots over on AO3, and I love writing Star Wars. I love talking Star Wars, especially talking Star Wars, because podcasting with Star Wars has helped me overcome a lot of my mental self-deprecation that I used to have when I was younger. It has also helped me embrace my sexuality, because I am a very proud bisexual woman. But I live in the South, and my family is very religious. And I've always been a bit of a tomboy too, but I'm expected to be very traditionally feminine in my family. And so that 2 hours a week on my podcast is where I can be myself. The raunchy, the swearing, as you've heard me almost slip up already tonight. And I can be raunchy, and I can swear, and I can be a bisexual woman talking about how I want to ship Ahsoka with ladies, and where I go into way too much detail about what I think the Grand Inquisitor and Thrawn's man parts look like. That has been a very discussed topic by me on the show, because I can talk Thrawn man parts for a long time on my show. And, you know, through the Star Wars fandom, I finally discovered who I really am, and I'm really starting to embrace it for the first time in my life. And I know this is really long, and I know that you've been listening to me ramble for a while, but the Filoniverse is what really has impacted my life. And to be honest, it saved my life. At the worst possible moment, it saved my life, and it helped me overcome abusive relationships and depression and possibly the worst. And it helped me shape my career through writing and podcasting, because I'm starting to do what I love. It's made me really proud to be a queer woman. I am queer. queer and I'm proud, and we have a saying on my show that I am a solid bisexual. So yes, shout out to all my solid bisexuals out there. And meeting people in the fandom has been one of my most favorite parts about being in the Star Wars fandom, because you're all so wonderful. You're all so lovely and wonderful, and I've made so many amazing friends. And I very proudly wear a Fulcrum tattoo on my arm for Ahsoka. And I have J-Guys tattooed on my ankle for Rex and my podcast. And I love Star Wars. There's not a day that goes by that I don't talk about it, or think about it, or dream about it, or roleplay about it, or talk to my best friend about it. Oh, speaking of my best friend, the only other greatest pleasure that I've had recently, after a decade of trying, I've tried for a decade to do this, and I finally got my best friend to dive into the Filoniverse this past year. So I'm getting to relive all the adventures of Clone Wars and Rebels all over again as she discovers it for the first time with her husband, and I will get her to watch Resistance soon enough. So I'm going to talk about this really fast. What are the things I'm most looking forward to this year in Star Wars? Number one is Thrawn Treason, because Thrawn is my fandom husband. I must see what happens to Karen Farrow. You don't give me a strong, badass woman and make her a Commodore of the Seventh Fleet without telling me what happens to her. Also, Eli Vanto must be protected at all times. I'm also super excited for the return of Resistance, because of course I love my Filoniverse shows. And I want to know what happens to Tam, most of all. I'm very excited to see what happens to Tam. And even though it's not this year, I am so looking forward to the return of Clone Wars. Because three words, Siege of Mandalore, and Ahsoka looks amazing, and I love her. And I am super excited for the Cassian Andor show whenever it comes out, because Rogue One's my favorite Star Wars movie, and I need more Rogue One content in my life. And I really hope Ahsoka pops up in the Cassian show, because he's a Fulcrum agent and she's a Fulcrum agent, and they need to have like a Fulcrum meetup, even if it's just like a hologram where Ashley Eckstein like voices it. I don't care. I just need Ahsoka in the Cassian show. So yeah, thank you, Lipsticks and Lightsabers, for letting me tell my story. I'm sorry it's so long, but thank you for giving me this platform and just being awesome, Star Wars fandom. And you know, Star Wars is amazing. And I love it, and it saved me, and I can't even begin to thank Dave Filoni and the cast and crew of all the Filoniverse shows, whether it's Clone Wars, or Rebels, or Resistance. You guys are doing amazing work, and you're saving lives. So thank you so much.
You've been listening to Lipstick and Lightsabers, presented by Network 1901. This week's story was from Hope, and you can find her at Hope Molnax and at Jagguys and Jedi on Twitter. If you'd like to be part of the show, you can send in your Star Wars story at lipsticklightsabers1901@gmail.com. I'd like to give a special thank you to our patrons for making this show happen, and if you want to reach out to us, you can find us at lip_lightsabers and myself at McCarter Shannon. I'll see you guys next time. Bye!